and the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow, resembling an emerald, encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also, before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes, in front and behind. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had the face of a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning and welcome to Elmden Church on this Sunday, on the Lord's Day, and it's great to have you with us. And we're continuing today to follow our Sunday reading, so we're looking at the book of Revelation. In view of everything that's going on, we have slowed them down a little bit. So I was going to speak last Sunday about a big chunk of Revelation chapter 4, and in fact, because of the format that we're using here online and in a very concentrated form, it made sense to split that reading for last week up into three smaller chunks, because otherwise I'd be talking for quite a lot longer than I think this particular format will bear. So today I'm going to be looking at Revelation chapter 4, verses 3 to 8, this following on from what I spoke about last week. So it's Revelation chapter 4, verses 3 to 8. And these verses, they tell us about God. What do they tell us about him? Well, they tell us that God is majestic, that God is holy. They tell us that God is everlasting. He's majestic, he's holy, he's our everlasting Lord. So God is majestic. See how our reading opens. The one who sat on the throne had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. I used to know somebody who was very enthusiastic about geology. He did a geology degree. He carried his little hammer around with him always. Apparently this is something that is an essential piece of kit for a geologist. And presented with a stone, he'd pick it up and start hammering on it. I didn't share his interest, I have to say, and I know nothing about stones. I couldn't even tell you what colour jasper or carnelian were, but one thing I do get from that verse, from chapter 4, verse 3, is that these things are a good thing. The throne is there, and on it sits one who has the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and there's a rainbow resembling an emerald encircling the throne. What this tells me is that this character who is sitting on it, and we know of course that it is God, although he is not named, he is majestic. His glory surrounds him. And if that weren't enough, we're told other details, that around this throne, as well as this rainbow-like thing resembling an emerald, there are 24 elders. 24 elders who are dressed in white with crowns of gold upon their heads. Well, that tells us that this is something special. There's something really worth focusing on here, the majesty of God himself. And it goes on in verse 5 that there are flashes of lightning. There are peals of thunder. Something special is here. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing, seven the number of perfection. And also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. So again, these are verses which speak of the power, of the majesty, the glory of God. He's surrounded by these retainers, these 24 elders. However, we understand that, and these precious stones and this aura of glory and these seven lamps blazing and a sea of glass clear as crystal. God's sovereignty over the heavens and the earth, the seas and everything which is in earth. Represented there, this is a God who is powerful. This is a God who is sovereign. And the picture continues to build. Because in the centre, around the throne, this is what it says as we move on with the reading, there were four living creatures. Says that at the end of verse 6. They're plainly pretty strange-looking beasts. Eyes in front and behind. They miss nothing. They see everything. And the first living creature was like a lion, and the second like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth like a flying eagle. And we could talk, no doubt, about what these different things represent. Pretty weird stuff. But what does it say? Much more importantly, what does this say about the one who sits on the throne himself? Surrounded by these servants, surrounded by these retainers, surrounded by the aura of God's glory, God himself. This is a God who's majestic. This is a God who is sovereign. And that's something that's worth holding on to, friends, in these difficult days. That even in these things, God is sovereign and God is Lord. This is a God who dwells in majesty, for he is majestic himself, a God who's majestic. We move on. It talks about these four strange creatures, and it says, and I'm looking at verse 8, that day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Well, those are words we often sing in Elmdon Church. They're the opening of one of the traditional hymns that we sing, but they also feature in several of the contemporary worship songs, some of which we use sometimes. "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God Almighty." And whatever else we can say about those words, it's clear that these living creatures want us to know, John wants us to know, God wants us to know that he is holy, a holy God. If he didn't want us to know that, he wouldn't have said it once, let alone three times. Holy, 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 a God who is so much different from us, a God who is so far set apart from us. What a great gulf there is lying between us. Between this God who is holy and these people, and that's us, who are not. He's majestic, he's holy. And he is also the everlasting Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. He was there in the past, he was there in the beginning, he was there before the beginning, he was the author of the beginning. He is there now, he is here now by the power of his own Holy Spirit. He's the one who is to come, the one who will be there at the end of time, who will be there after the end of time, for he is time's author and maker as well. A God who is everlasting, a Lord who is eternal. And therefore it is right what these creatures are doing, and it is God's promise to his people that we too are part of this now, and one day we shall be fully as well, that day and night they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And if we are followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are swept up in that worship and praise, and we live that praise out in every part of our lives. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. He's majestic, he's holy, he's the everlasting Lord, he's deserving of eternal worship. And the question, of course, is with a God like this, one who's majestic and holy and everlasting, eternal, how can we find acceptance with a majestic, holy God? We've been reading about this majestic, holy God all week as we've looked at the book of Deuteronomy in our daily readings. We'll come back to him on Tuesday. How can we find acceptance with a God like that, when he is so mighty, so far above us, and we are so lowly and fallen and broken and wrong? Well, you'll have to wait for 2 weeks until we come to Revelation chapter 5, where we talk about the Lamb who was slain, for an answer to that question. But if the suspense really is too much for you, and if you don't know the answer yet, how can we find an acceptance with a God like that? You don't have to wait. Give me a call. I'll tell you. It's Jesus.